We pray that your anointing rush upon your truth today. Let it be spoken by the Spirit of truth, not by the cunning devices of man. Let it be done according to your will, Father. That every word will be judged, every action, and every deed. That it may correct the hearts of your people. It is thine truth. We bless you today. We thank you. I praise you for all things, for you are mighty and worthy. In the mighty name of Yahshua the Lamb, we bless you, Yahweh, forevermore. And the saints declare it with a hearty hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful day that Yahweh has granted unto us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I bless the Father. I thank Him. My soul rejoices with the fatness of His goodness and His kindness. I'm very grateful for what He has done and what He is doing. There's so many things in the world today that will cause one's heart to become dismayed. It began to question Yahweh as we see things. As we understand certain things, David declared that as he began to behold the prosperity, a mighty king he was. As he began to see what the wicked, what they reaped to themselves, he beheld that instead of beholding the Father. And we shall behold Him face to face. He said, because of that I almost slipped. And I almost fell. That is the dilemma today because many are beholding the world. And they're falling from faith, from grace, from the love of Yahweh. Because the vision is not set upon the things that are above, but upon the things that are sensual, earthly, fleshly. It destroys the love of Yahweh in a man's heart. I said this morning as I survey things, I read the newspaper as it comes, I looked at the one that they call Bishop Long. He started a whorehouse, I use that expression, in Charlotte, 1 year ago. Only 1 year. And now the membership is close to 1,500 within 1 year. And so to look at those things, what is he declaring? What is the message? Is it Messiah, the hope? Or is it steeped in pagan rituals and rituals of this hour? And as Yahweh dealt with my heart, he said, the football games get that. The basketball games get that. The sporting events, the movie theaters. But few are called. And few know this way, and few understands the ways of Yahweh. And all by getting, we must get understanding. He is not the author of confusion. Where there's envy, strife, you begin to battle against Him, you become confused in your mind. And as even a young man that had no understanding of his truths, I didn't fight against things that I heard. I would lay them aside. And if it's so, Father, you will send a witness to my soul. And he will send witnesses that will proclaim those truths. And then they will inspire the inward depths of my heart to run after Him. As the old saints would say, to see what the end shall be. There's nothing in Scripture that Yahweh has commanded us to do that He doesn't intend for us to obey. Everything. You must understand that that is why the firstborn, they had a birthright. And Esau, because of his vile wickedness and his evilness, he cannot inherit that birthright. Because the birthright of the first one was to leave them in the instrumental things of Yahweh, the worship. understanding of the law. He was a pattern, and the strength of the Father was imparted into the first one. That's why it was vitally important. We can see that in the natural sense. The way the first one goes, they all follow that same pursuit. And that is just the truth. And so what Yahweh has done in the midst of us, He has sent forth a firstborn, begotten of Him. And He came in the authority and in the name of the Father. He has a name. The Father has a name. And it's not Lord God, saints. It is Yahweh. Although man has tried to hide it, He has made provisions for men to know without a shadow of doubt that they may know the Father's name. That is vitally important in this hour, that we know who we call on and that we know our Father. As I thought about that, on my birth certificate, it says, Mother Bithynia Roberts. It says, Father Unknown. For He's an unknown entity. Yet, on this birth certificate, it says, Father Yahweh. It says, Mother New Jerusalem. That is my mother. I have been birthed from above, not from beneath. There is a spirit of life that cometh only from the Father, and only from the Father. It was the Father that quickeneth Messiah. He made Him alive in the midst of the tomb, of the grave, where no corruption, even at His most vulnerable state, no corruption could inhabit that body. And the reason why? Because there was no leaven and no corruption in that body. So it could not be consumed by corruption. For whom Yahweh has made free through the power, the revelation of His Son. And His Son comes to reveal whom we should worship. And we should worship Yahweh. Him only shall we worship. It has not changed from Genesis, Bereshit, to Revelation. It is the same. When it's all is finished, we're going to see the mighty power and the honor of the Father and the Lamb, the Son, on His right hand. And all things that have been subdued will be put under the Father's authority. Even the Son Himself shall be put under the Father's authority. He did not come to diminish the authority of the Father. But doctrines and traditions have taught us that. Whereby the name of the Father is not even mentioned today. It is not even known. He has not changed. And His laws have not changed. I want to begin reading in Scripture. Because there's a message and a word today. I pray that Yahweh will impart into your souls. We must obey what He says. We cannot disobey the Father. We must obey what He says. And I want to set the parameters of this truth from Genesis, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 26, verse 4. Genesis 26, verse 4. Power of obedience. And what great anointing that it brings to a man's soul. And how it reveals the very power of Yahweh in a man. Because Messiah obeyed Him in all things. He did everything the Father commanded Him to do. And He had commands. And so the commands of Yahweh, they are not new, or they were not ushered in with Moshe. Scripture says here in Genesis 26, Bereshit, verse 4. As Yahweh began to speak unto Abraham, He said, And I will make your seed multiply as the stars of the heaven. It shall flow in the brightness of my power, my great strength. No man will be able to touch the heart of the soul of that one.
And all of man's technology, he cannot touch a star. He can't even get close to one. And all of that. He said, your seed shall be like the stars of the heaven. I believe that in multiplication. And also in the distance, or in the power and the strength that should radiate from the star. He said, I will give to your seed all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 5. It said, because Abraham, he obeyed my voice. That is what he did. He obeyed the voice of Yahweh. And he kept my charge. He did what I told him. My commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, I know it reads a little different in the rendition you have, but it's the same thing. He kept all the charge of Yahweh. He obeyed the voice. He said, because you have done that, I will pour out a tremendous anointing and a blessing upon you. Now every whorehouse in the nation will take that scripture and apply to natural carnal what they call prosperity and blessings. Yet their hearts are vile and full of evil. They're full of sin and corruption. Can any man says that he has the truth of Yahweh when he doesn't keep his laws? And that's the truth. Scripture says that if a man says he has the truth, if he doesn't keep the laws of Yahweh, he has no truth at all. And that is what the enemy has done. He has kept a people blinded, so they will not obey the laws of Yahweh. They will not come to this marvelous light of this profound truth that grants a man a liberty to walk without being fearful if the Father is going to strike him dead. For he is not doing anything against the will of the Father. But everything he does is according to the will of the Father. For he seeketh to please him in all things. And he said to Abraham, because you have walked in my covenant, you have done what I commanded you to do, there shall be a seed that come forth out of your loins. He spoke words of faith unto the heart of Abraham. And they shall be a people that the brightness of my power shall resonate from their souls. Now today you don't see any brightness of the power of Yahweh. You see a people that is so succumb to flesh, to sin. You sense a tremendous darkness about them. You don't sense a bright, shining, reverberating truth in their souls. You sense something that is so traditional that it can't even bring them to the simple truths of Almighty Yahweh. How to baptize, how to pray, how to cleanse their hands, how to separate themselves, how to walk in the light that he has granted unto us. And you find this confusion in the land. The minds are confused. The hearts do not even know how to love. So you find this sensation that satisfies the flesh. You give them things that give some credibility to their flesh. It makes them feel good. It satisfies them for the moment. It's almost like a junkie getting a drug fix for the moment, and afterwards they are lows. The stars are always high, and they shine in the midst of even darkness. Even when you can't see them, they shine. And the reason you can't see them because of this false light that is in the world. And that's why you can't see the very brightness of the power of Yahweh. Because we see all these false lights and we think that this is the light of Yahweh and it is a false light. They're not shining bright. They're not like the day star. They're false stars. That's what they are. It's a false illumination. Even Shaitan, his ministers, they have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, and he himself into a bright shining star. But he is not. He is not the day star that shall arise in the souls of the people of Yahweh. It is the hope that he has granted unto us through Abraham. that we are the seed of Abraham. They that are Jews are not Jews outwardly, but inwardly. They have circumcised their hearts by the law of Yahweh. And we need that circumcision. We need to cut away that corrupt black flesh, the corrupt white flesh and Jewish flesh. We need to be born truly, born by the power or a rebirth by the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. When a man has that rebirth, there's a law that governs him. And if we are the sons, he must govern us. We're not governed by our feelings. We're not governed by mother's laws or daddy laws. My mother was a vile, evil woman. She was sinful. And for me to walk under the auspices of those laws that she taught me, it will go contrary to the laws of Yahweh. I don't care how religious she seemed. I don't care how nice she was. I don't care how kind she was. It has nothing to do with the principles of Yahweh. He gives us principles, laws. And from those laws he commands us. And by those commandments he brings statutes. And those statutes tell us how to walk in the ordinance. And when a man doesn't comply to that, then it brings about the judgment of Almighty Yahweh. And we must understand that. It's a nation and a people that they have rejected judgment. They don't even think about judgment at all. They walk in the statutes of their minds and the ordinance of their own laws. And everybody got a different law. It's all right to do this. And the next one say, well, you can do so much of it. How can that be? It can't be. I was reading how that this baron, the one that owns Core Liquors or the beer company, they call him a conservative Christian. Now that's what they call him. I have no qualms with that. For that is what he is. He is not a child of Yahweh. He is not birthed by the Spirit. And he surely doesn't possess the anointing or the Spirit. He only gives his Spirit to those that obey him. And that's what Scripture says. And I want to show you in a chronological sequence how it comes. It doesn't come by the traditions we've been taught. It doesn't come by the Pentecostal way because we go la ta ta ba ta ta ba ba ba. That doesn't mean a nickel's worth of rats dung. I'm telling you that now. It doesn't come wholesale like that. You can't buy the anointing of Yahweh. It comes by a faithfulness of obedience unto Him. And so they have sold this Christ doctrine. And many fall under the power of those lies. And when one speaks against it, he's speaking against the traditions of their hearts, and it's hard for them to receive that. That is not the Spirit of Yahweh. It is not. It is a spirit that has been passed on by the white man. It is a spirit that has been passed on by the black man. It's been passed on by their little organizations. It has not been passed on by the Father. There's only one way you receive that. He put His Spirit in Israel, that they should keep His statutes, His laws, and His commandments. That's what Scripture says. And I will put My Spirit in you, upon you, that you shall keep My. How can this be the Spirit? We don't keep His commandments, His laws. Tell me. How can that be? It is not the Spirit according to Scripture. It's not the Spirit of Yahweh according to what you read in that book you hold in your hand. Because if you search the Scriptures and you truly search them, and if you apply your heart to know what Scripture says, and most people don't do that. No time for what Scripture says. He poured out His anointing upon them that they should obey Him. And walk in His statutes, His laws, and His commandments. He did not pour out His Spirit that we would act like some illegitimate buffoons. Let us stop the anointing of Yahweh. Even Saul said to the Coronites, said, don't do that. Say, someone come in the midst and all of you all, sha-ta-la-pa-ta-ta-ta-ta. He said, they're coming and thinking you're a bunch of mad folks. I'd rather speak one word of understanding than to get up here and ro-sa-la-ba-ka-sha-ta-la-ba-ro-bo-so-to-lo-ko. It's bring no edification to the soul. And tongues are not for the unbelievers anyway. For those that
It's not for the believer, but for those that don't believe and don't know. That's what they're for. Prophecy is what you need. You may know your corrupt heart, the spirit of your mind, what things lurk in the inward parts of you. You're not going into the kingdom disobeying Yahweh. You're not going in. I don't care what this world teaches. I don't care what they say. Well, we'll get to that point. No. When you hear the truth of Yahweh, you simply don't harden your heart. As in the days of provocation. You say, this is the truth. Why? Because it will cut you. It will expose your corrupt heart. It's sharp. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It doesn't congeal with your traditions and your doctrines. It brings about a new profound utterance and truth. That's what it does. So it doesn't give you that comfort or that feeling of security in your flesh. It takes us out of this corrupt stuff. And we began to trust in the spiritual laws of Yahweh. The laws of your flesh are corrupt. They teach you all kinds of lies and corruption. They show you all kinds of things that are false and wrong. With this, my daughter, my son, I will love them more than I love you. That's not what scripture says. So that's a false law. It's not the law of Yahweh. That's not what scripture says. That's not what it says. You can't do that. You got to love him. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. And that's just it. Doesn't put no family, no mother, no son, daughter, anything there. You just love him. Then you love your brother and sister as you love yourself. That's how you do it. I want to read in Romans. Now, I'm reading out of this translation. I like the reading of this one better than the King James. It's the truth. It says in Romans chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, you are without a defense, or you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are that judges, for in whatever you judge another, now the way you judge another, he says, you condemn yourself. Why? For you who judge practice the same thing. What you say there ought not to be done, you're doing the very same thing. You cannot, my friends, be a part of this pagan methora of pagan worship and say you love Yahweh. You judge, well, they do that, they do this, and you're doing the very same things that they're doing. It doesn't work that way. You can't find a decent place today to sit down and have your soul fed. Now, men will find places like they find the McDonald's, the Burger King's, the Pizza Hut's that sell stuff that have no value at all. Just as it is with our natural appetite, so it is with the spiritual appetite. The things that are good and wholesome and complete for one, they don't like that. But the things that are not good, they rather have those kinds of things. So a man can see a McDonald's, he can see a steakhouse, he prefers the McDonald's because his mind is sensitized to that kind of eating. And that's why they go and shop for those things or the whorehouses that are pleasing to them. You find a whorehouse of your choice. That's just like a man out there shopping for a prostitute. He looks for the one that fits his desire. You can shun it all you want, it's the truth. When a woman looks for a man, she looks for one that fits her expectation of what she think a man should look like. That's what she does. I'm going to preach like this. You're feeding your sons and daughters every kind of vile thing there is. Feeding them homosexual books, telling them that's all right. The television, queer eyes for straight guys, that kind of vile irritation of the minds of the children and even the parents of that ignorant, they watch it too. That's a wickedness, saints. He never intended for us to set our eyes to be mesmerized and charmed like that. It takes our eyes off him. That is an abomination. It's a filthy thing. And anyone that sets in front of that, they are abominable unto Yahweh. I don't care what this world tells you, saints. He tells us to set our eyes upon him.
and they set their eyes there for 10, 12, 15 hours a day. They can't go to sleep because that thing has consumed them. Don't tell me that that is not a powerful working of hell, because it is. And if you've ever watched one, you know the power that it exerts over a man's life. You're not going to say you're walking in truth and love in Yahweh and sitting in front of that thing for hour after hour. And there is no time for prayer or fasting or no time for reading a scripture. You are a liar. The world does that. I wouldn't sell my soul to go back to that. And that's for sure. Joel says in verse 2, but we know assuredly that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth. Now that's how his judgment is. The judgment of Yahweh is according to truth. We must establish what truth is. We must know what truth is in order to know how he judged. We know that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth. We know that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth. And we know that his commandments are the truth. And he judged us according to our transgressions of his truth. His commandments or his judgments are based upon that. That is what destroyed a man when he disobeyed the laws of Yahweh. He was brought under condemnation or judgment. Now that's the true saint, but not what this tradition in this whorehouse of man has taught us. That's why many are falling into these Jezebels and they can't come out. A man that goes into a whore, he goes into a deep ditch. And he can't come out of that whore spirit. I was looking the other day at this Jezebel, this harlot, how she proclaimed herself to be the mediator of Almighty Yahweh. This Roman Jezebel. And everything, if you search scriptures, if you would take time and search scriptures, if your hearts were inspired to simply search scriptures, you will see many profound things there. Because they are there. And because we don't, we rather read some carnal material. It doesn't bring about any kind of strength. Man will sit there and watch television 5 hours. He will not give Yahweh 5 minutes. He will sit there and sleep for 10, 12 hours a day. He can't stay awake 1 hour to study. Something is drastically wrong in that man's soul. And that's the truth. Yahweh said he has 7 profound spirits. And yet this whore sits on 7 mountains or 7 hills. She's trying to emulate the very anointing of a high spiritual planes that we ought to walk on. The spirits of Yahweh, they are profound anointings. And they take us to a higher elevation that he may be revealed unto us. And you're not going to see the revelation of the power of Yahweh walking in a carnal mind, walking in the seductive spirit. You got to be led by the spirit of Yahweh. Only those that are his sons, he leads them. If a man is not his son, he will not lead them. He will not. And a man is his son when he obeys his commandments. He is a ruler. He is a father. Tell me which of you fathers in here do not say, son, at 8 o'clock or before it's dark, I want you in. You give laws and commandments. And they must obey those things. And when they don't obey them, then there's retribution for not obeying those things. When do you start? You start at birth. Teaching them the principles how to obey. Speak to them. That's what Abraham heard. He heard the voice of Yahweh. And he obeyed his voice. He knew that it was his voice. He said, but we know that Yahweh judge according to truth against those who practice such things, who walk in hypocrisy, who pretend, who say that they are and they are not, who say they love and have no power to love. Their love is one of dissimulation, is one of hypocrisy. And Yahweh told us, let not our love be with dissimulation. They don't know how to love. They're Judaizers. They're betrayers. They betray Yahweh. They will betray him for things that are natural and carnal. They will disallow the word of Yahweh because it doesn't stand according to their commands or their dictates to him. So they reject the word of Yahweh. But a man rejects his word, it's like it's worthless. It has no power. It means nothing. You can't reject what he says. You reject his name, then you say it's worthless. You break the commandment, the third commandment. You can't do that. You say the name of Yahweh has no importance in their lives. That's more important than a pagan lord or pagan God or pagan Jehovah or pagan Jesus. That's not his name. But the son did not come in no pagan Jesus. The name could never be that. Through the chronicles of history, it could never be Jesus. Isn't that something? Because we see this uprising there in Iran, in Iraq. You have the names of the cleric there, Murtada, Sada. You must learn how to pronounce his name. It doesn't translate nothing but that. Murtada, Sada. That's what his name is. And yet you hear it enough that you just learn how to pronounce it. So it doesn't change. The name of Yahweh hasn't changed. His son's name hasn't changed. Don't tell me that the English name Jesus is a perfect rendition. Lies. It is a distractor. It is one thing about the name. It brings us to the power and the fullness of that one that his name represents, the character of whom he is. Yahweh's name represents who he is and what he is. And Messiah came in that name because he walked in the authority of the Father. He came to represent the Father, to show you the authority of the Father. And so everything he did was in the name of the Father, that the Father's power, that his honor would be restored unto him. And that men would praise the Father. That's what he did. And I preach it emphatically. Let all hell go in rage. Verse 3. So do you, look at this, so do you have this thought, O man, who judge those who do such things, then practice the same, that you will escape the judgment of Yahweh? Or do you despise the richness of his kindness, forbearing, and his long suffering now, not realizing that Yahweh's kindness, because he showed us kindness, it is to lead you or us to repentance, to repent of your transgressions, to repent of your sins? Do you not understand that's what his kindness is? His kindness leads us to repentance. To say, I'm wrong, Father. I have transgressed against you. I've transgressed. I've done that without the fullness of knowledge. And that's what his long suffering does. That's why the law is spiritual. And that is the long suffering or the revelation of that long suffering of Yahweh. For if a man sinned under the old covenant, he died. He had no time to repent. For he was thinking about his flesh. Now he's done a marvelous thing through Messiah to bring the power of that law, the fullness of it. For what words he spoke, they were spiritual from the beginning. And they have not changed from that from the beginning, saints. It is something how this wickedness of man, they want to apply one labor to this and one labor to that. They want to do it this way here and that way this way. And that's why it's such a massive confusion today. For man doesn't deal with the sins of this nation. They've transgressed Yahweh. It doesn't deal with the inaccuracy of their doctrines. You must get the name right. In order to get that right, you get the heart right. When you get the heart right, because there's a law there that points you to him. Now his laws point us to him. It doesn't point us to pagan deities or pagan things. It points us to him. Now the law of your flesh points you to pagan gods. The god of your belly, the god of your flesh. The God of your sons, the God of your daughters, the God of your wife, the God of your husbands. You will do wrong and you will speak wrong because your wife is wrong. And you try to justify her wickedness. You will do wrong and speak wrong because your husband is weak and wicked and shallow. And so you will speak against the authority of Yahweh and the things of Yahweh because of them. You will speak against that which is right because your daughter is wicked. Your son is a pervert. You will speak against those things because the law doesn't, the law that is spoken to you doesn't give any kind of comfort to your heart because it brings condemnation to them. And that's what it does. But he judged righteously. Oh, sure he does. And he's going to judge every man. For all the things that have been done in your body. When he tell us that praise him that rideth on the clouds or of the heavens by his name, he means what he says. Don't obey him. And this world is not doing that. And see what he means what he says. He means what he says. You go to these whorehouses. You go to that meeting with that Bishop Long. There will be a whoredom. Women dressed like sluts. There will be homosexuals. They will have earbobbed. They will have braided hair. They will be dressed like heathens. They will have earbobs in their tongue, earbobs in their bellies. It's pagan. It's wicked. It's an abominable thing. Their bodies tattooed, shorts on, pants. hats on, dressing like fools. Don't tell me that's a Yahweh. Don't tell me he's there. If this one that I know is Yahweh there, I don't want to serve him. He's not in a solemn feast. You know, the article said it's going to be a free gathering. What an abomination. It's going to be free. That's what it says. A free open door. Bishop Long of the big Baptist whorehouse. That's what it is. Drawing them by the tens of thousands into darkness. The sins are never revealed. That's not how Yahweh works. That's why he have laws, saints. To show you how wrong you are. And where you're fallen. Where you need to get back to. That's why he have those laws. And his name is a mighty and a great name. Isn't that something that they call Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player? No, they don't call him just a basketball player. They call him by name. And his name is known. Then what is the Father's name? What is his name? There are many basketball players, like there are many gods and many lords. What is his name? What is the Father's name? There's a distinct difference between Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal. The names are different, so they know them. The Father's name is not separated from the Son. You must know the Son's name in order to know the Father's name. And that's why we have not walked in the light of his power and the strength of his anointing. No, we haven't. We have sinned repeatedly without conscience of our sin, without knowledge of our sins. He never intended for that to be. But a man sinned because of his long suffering. Immediately there's a repentance in his heart that he will not commit that sin again. He said, but according to your hardness. That's what this generation is. It is a stubborn generation. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And hardness or stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's what was said unto Saul that rejected the laws of Yahweh as Samuel prophesied the words of Yahweh. And this is a hardened generation. Because of the hardness of your heart, that's what he says. But according to your stubbornness or your hardness, when a man becomes stubborn and hardened, I will tell you what's going to happen. Do you know what will happen? Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, I will also reject you. Because you say my word has no value, I will also show you how little value you have to me. And because of the hardness, by traditions and laws of the flesh, instead of the laws of Yahweh that opens a man's heart, that he truly worship Yahweh in spirit, act in truth. Why? Because they will not inhibit you from doing that. But the laws of the flesh inhibit you from doing that. The laws of your emotions and your feelings, the laws of your grandmama, what she taught you, and the laws of your mama, what they taught you, that inhibit you from moving into that spiritual dynamic whereby you can worship the one that is a spirit. That's what scripture says he is. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. He seeketh such, gathering in his name to know him. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he said, I rejected you from being a king. I rejected you. We're going to be kings and priests. You reject the word of Yahweh, he's going to reject you as being a king. And that's as simple as that. That whole house, when they gather tomorrow with Bishop Long, they won't reject what he says. They will be steeped in emotion. They will be flinging their bodies. Women with their little halter tops and cut out their breasts. My, what an abomination. Dresses on up to here. And they will have their hands raised. And these perverts, they will gather in Aphrodite's, this synagogue of lust. That's all it is. That's all it is. And they will feed on the flesh. And he will say things that will cause the flesh to become even more covetous and greedy. And they will leave all that with lasciviousness and concupiscence, a heart full of sin and wickedness. Messiah didn't have that many to follow him after a year. How can that be? 1 year, 1,400, 1,500
members. They're not preaching the message that Saul preached. What he preached, they wanted to kill him. They're not preaching what Messiah preached. What he preached, they did kill him. And they certainly isn't preaching what Stephen said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You always resist what the Spirit of Yahweh speaks unto you. And that's what this generation does. They resist it because they don't have the Spirit of Yahweh. They don't have His Spirit. They have some kind of traditional ritual spirit that has been imparted into them by the way of their doctrine. But it's not the Spirit of Yahweh. That's why the Baptist can't break the Baptist mode, or the Methodist can't break the Methodist mode, or the Pentecostal. That's why they can't come and draw nigh unto Him. They're far from the Father. Just like we are today, far. Our minds are far from Him. Our thoughts are far from Him. Our hearts are. Don't tell me you love Him, because if you loved Him, He's always present on your mind. His name is always on your lips. In everything you do, you give thanks unto Him. It did not say give thanks unto the name of Jesus, but everything we do is thanks unto the Father, unto Him. And the Father has a name. Messiah did not come to destroy the authority of the Father. They become the point man to the Father. He came here to represent all of His authority, all of His power, because I walk in His name. But He said unto Moshe, that angel, he does not bear my name. In vain, He bear my name, and He will not forgive your sins. When the Malachi said, I will preach what Scripture says, despite what men says. He said, but according to your stubbornness and your impotent, it's a mind that can't repent. Now that's something, this is new covenant here, isn't it? It says impotent in your text, doesn't it? It's a mind that can't repent. There's a mind that can't do that. I would say things to my natural mother. She couldn't repent of it. She couldn't. Just like you. You can't repent of it. Well, I'm just going to hold on to this. Mama said it. No, he said, an impotent heart. I don't want that kind of heart, Father. I don't want an impotent heart. I want to be able to repent when I'm wrong. Show me if I'm wrong. And every last one of you have been wrong. We've all been wrong. In many applications. In many doctrinal things, we've been wrong. We started off keeping Sunday. It was wrong. It was just flat out wrong. And we walked that way for many years until Yahweh began to deal with this servant's heart that this was wrong. And because there were repentance there, He could bring us to a little more truth. And a little more, and a little more. As He did with Israel, when He brought them all out of Egypt, all did not go into the promised land. He killed them by the tens of thousands in the wilderness. And I watched this process coming out of Egypt into that place whereby there is a sound worship unto Him. That His name is exalted above the heathen gods and the heathen deities. He have moved others off and pruned the tree. That's what He has done. That's what He has done. And pruned them off. Why? Because they bear no fruit. No fruit at all. So when a branch doesn't bear fruit, you cut it off. It's a branch that is dead. You cut it off. And for some reason, we don't think that Yahweh is doing that. We don't think that He does those kinds of things today. But that's what He does, saints. How do you know? Well, then watch them and see what kind of fruit they bear. So He cuts them off. They bear fruit. Lies. They're not bearing fruit. If there wasn't for just a little nourishment, you would not have any fruit at all yourself. And the only way you're going to get fruit out of the tree, you must cut it constantly. You must cut the tree. You must prune it. You must cut it. You see a big old pretty branch, you say, boy, I know that fruit there is worthless. It's drawing. You cut off the branch. When He's given a whole lot of money, Yahweh cuts them off because the dollars are worthless. Doesn't mean nothing to Him. He said, Abraham, these blessings I'm sending to you is because I own the whole world. He doesn't need man. You're still Yahweh. Because there's at least one that's made it in. One. That legitifies Him. He's legitimate. And that's the truth. He said, because of your impotent mind, the mind is so impotent, it cannot repent. You can't even repent. You can't even acknowledge your sins and your wickedness. Is an impotent mind. Ain't no repentance there, no sorrowfulness. Do the same thing over and over and over.
a stubborn heart person, impenitent mind. You are storing up wrath for who? You stored up wrath for yourself. For the day of Yahweh's wrath, when the righteous judgment of Yahweh shall be revealed. When a man does that, he doesn't realize he's stored up wrath or the judgment of Yahweh upon himself. It's his own wrath that's going to overtake him. We got to come to this place where he's real to us. And he's not real to us. It's just a fad or a thing. It's something that is superfluity. Don't tell him it's reality there. Because if it was, we would not do the things that bring his name, dishonor, shame upon him. We do the things that make honor or bring honor unto his name, that bring worship to his name. He wants his name to be worshipped because it's a great name. It's a mighty name. It's a magnificent name. It's his name. It is the only name of power. That's the Father. And the Son cannot take anything away from that. Not one thing at all. Not one thing at all. I want you to hold that in Romans. And I want you to turn to Samuel. I want to go back to Romans. That's my base there. I want to deal with this impenitent mind. This hardness and this impenitence. Where man cannot repent. Whereby they cannot be remorseful. Whereby there is no sorrowfulness. You sisters, your hearts are impenitent. Your heart. You're callous. That's what it is. You judge others. And yet you are doing things that are worse than others. You judge them and you're in worse shape. You won't pray. You will not fall before your face. You will not cry unto Yahweh. You judge because it's not according to the thing that makes satisfaction or brings satisfaction to your flesh. And scripture says in 1 Samuel, in chapter 15, as though Saul knew he was in trouble. Look what he says now. We know that Yahweh's judgment is what? Is righteous. Is not his judgment righteous? Is not the judgment of Yahweh righteous? His judgment is righteous. And there's only one that judges, and that's Yahweh. That's why Messiah says, think not I come to judge the world. There's one that judges. He is the judge. He's mightier than I. He's greater than I am. When a man has the spirit of Yahweh in him, he judges all things. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25, that these are the words of Saul. He says, now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sins, or pardon my sin. Just a sin. He transgressed or he rejected the word of Yahweh. Now that's the sin of this nation today. Men are rejecting the word of Yahweh. He said, pardon my sin and turn again with me. Walk with me. Fellowship with me. That I may worship Yahweh. Is that not what it says? That I may worship? He could not even worship the Father. That's why there is no worship today, really. What we call worship is a formality. The flesh is not crucified. You get weary real fast. You get tired of him. How can one say that they don't get tired of watching television for 10 hours and they will sit there? That's worship. They can sit at a baseball game for 7 hours. When I get up to use the restroom, they would spend their whole pagan Sundays at a football game. Something is wrong, saints. He said, turn with me so that I can worship Yahweh. I want to get to the place where I can worship him again. You got to get to that place where you can worship him. He said, I want to know how can I worship him. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. I won't go with you. I won't return with them. I won't walk with them that reject Yahweh's truth. I won't walk with them that reject this name. I won't walk with them. I'm not looking for that kind of fellowship. Samuel said, I don't need your fellowship. I don't care. There's no fellowship. They are brothers and sisters that Yahweh is blessing to walk in this truth. Have the understanding. When a man rejects it, when a man rejects that truth, and people write me all the time that have never heard this, and yet they don't reject it. When a man rejects it, he says it's worthless. And he will not obey what the Father says. Even there are folks that don't even understand it, they know that it's inspiring. That's what they will say. It inspires my heart. I know it's the truth, but I don't understand that. Tell me more. Just listen. You will learn more. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh. That's why you can't walk with a man who rejects the word of Yahweh. He said, thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. We're priests and kings unto Yahweh. And because you reject the word of Yahweh, he is going to reject you as well as being a king. You're not going to rule, saint. You're not going to be able to rule your own spirit and your own soul. That's why you allow any kind of lawless thing to come in. Your mind will become lawless. Your spirit will become lawless. You will let any kind of lawless thing overtake you. You find yourself walking in lawlessness. You will be lawless. There's no law in your mind. And your spirit, everything that is lawless, you will do it, saints. He said, because you rejected the word of Yahweh. And you can reject the word of Yahweh. Every word that he wrote is pure. Every word that he inspired is pure. How can you reject some of that? Messiah fulfilled everything and the blood sacrifice. It was not that Yahweh did away with blood sacrifices. It was just the Messiah fulfilled that. That's why a lamb or a goat or sheep could not have any spot or blemish. It had to be blemishless with no spots or anything. And that's what Messiah fulfilled. But he didn't destroy the laws or the name of Yahweh. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. He came to show them in this power, in this anointing, and this body is fulfilled all the sacrifices. For the Father's name is in this. And this is pleasing to the Father. He didn't do away with it. He did. He did not. He still requires the blood sacrifice. It's just that the blood is applied. He has not done away with it. I don't care what the pagans say. He has not done away with it. The blood is applied now. So he sees the blood when he comes. He has not changed. He's still looking for the blood. That hasn't changed. We just don't have to go out there to a cow and get it. We got it done. It's done in Messiah. He hasn't changed one bit. If he's changed, then he's a liar. And Yahweh can't lie. He's Yahweh Almighty. He changes not. Therefore, you sons of Yaakov are not consumed. So he hasn't changed. It's a hard, unrepentant generation. But one is unrepentant, they reject truth. They want to debate you on certain things, but they reject truth. It's truth that makes a man free. It's truth. It's truth that makes him free. It gives him a new mind and a new spirit. That's what makes a man free. Scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. Yahweh has not changed. The Messiah did not come to change one aspect of him. He was the fulfillment of the fullness of Yahweh's truth. He hasn't changed. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. He says, oh, you say you are born again, you're saved. What a wicked generation wants to reject the old. Or the covenant that he gave unto Abraham, but yet they want the blessings of Abraham. They are fools. This is a foolish generation. He says in Jeremiah 8:8, how do you say you are wise? And the law of Yahweh is with us. We got the law of Yahweh. The Yadim, that's what they say. We got the law now. These Hebrews, that's how they're talking. He says, lo, certainly, it's no doubt, in vain made he it. So what you're saying that in vain he made the law. Are we saying that today? That's what man is saying. In vain he made the law. He said the pen of the scribe is what? It's full of lies. They're full of deceit now. That's what he said. Their pens are full of lies. And that's what these scribes today. The Baptist scribes. The Bishop Longs. The Oral Roberts. They're Baptists. They're Pentecostal scribes. T.D. Jakes. They're scribes. They're liars. The pens of age, they write their books by the thousands. That's all they do, write books. Books, books, books. Book, book, books. Trying to explain Yahweh and they don't know him. So you say you have the law. So what he's saying then, is the law vain? You saying that the law is vain? If the law is vain, your pen is vain then. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say, verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. And they are. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? When a man rejects the word of Yahweh, what wisdom is in them? He said, your wise men have nothing. For they reject the law of Yahweh. What wisdom is in a man that rejects the word of Yahweh? What wisdom is it a man that rejects the word of Yahweh? When he governs your mind or your spirit, you reject that, you have no wisdom. You're fool. You're full of fool. You're fool. He said, so tell me your wise men, where's the wisdom? They rejected the word of Yahweh. He said, they're fools. They have no knowledge at all in them. When a man rejects the word of Yahweh, he has no wisdom at all. He's a foolish man. And that is it. When a woman rejects that, she is foolish. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your son, your daughter, your granddaddy, your grandmama. Makes no difference at all. You reject this word, he's going to reject you. You're not going to reject this word. You reject Messiah, he's going to reject you. The Messiah did not come to bring another identity to identify for the Americans, for the white Caucasians, for the black African Americans. He came in the power of his Father's name that transcends every language barrier.